This sermon was downloaded from www.spiritnerds.org. We equip Christians with thousands of strategic spiritual materials daily. Join millions of Christians around the world who have come to Spirit Nerds to learn about God and His Word today.
Proverbs 21 and verse 20. All of us will read together. Proverbs chapter 21 and verse 20. Proverbs chapter 21 and verse 20. Well, it's there on the screen. Let's read. There is desirable treasure and oil in the dwelling of the wise, but the foolish man squanders it. Sweet Holy Spirit, give us wisdom. Help us to cross, to abandon every form of foolishness, and to enjoy your wisdom. In Jesus' name. Okay, I'll title this Financial Freedom. Financial Freedom. Please remember the foundations that we have laid before we got here. We are not poor. Real money is not the paper. Real money is value. Am I right? Real money is not the paper. Rich people know that, poor people don't. Real money is not the paper. Real money is value. The paper, cash, that we call money is just a means of exchange of value. If you don't bring value to the place of exchange, you have no business going home with money. And when we realize that real money is valued, and all of us realize we are not poor, we are rich, but it's our mindset that determine how prosperous we become materially speaking. There's a mental structure that results in material lack, and there's a mental structure that results in material prosperity. In Proverbs 21, which we read, and verse 5, it says, the plans of the diligent lead surely to plenty. The plans, the thoughts, the ideas of the diligent lead surely to plenty, but those of everyone who is hasty surely to poverty. So you see, it's the plan, it's the thinking. So how do you change your life, change your material situation? You change your thinking. Romans 12:2. Don't be conformed to this world. Or like one translation says, don't let this world squeeze you into its own mold, especially in a poor country like this. So many ideas running all over the place. So many plans, so many thoughts running all over the place, but they condition people to poverty. Many of the things that poor people do, thinking those things will get them out of poverty, are the very things that get them deeper into it. Okay? But it's a mental structure. So we change our thinking. We change our thinking through information and through discipline. Information and discipline. And there are different ways you go about getting the information. Those are the things we discussed before until now. You break the word information down, you have information. The reason why knowledge is powerful is because it changes you. It forms you. It determines who you become on the inside. And who you are on the inside will determine who you become on the outside. Now, when you get information, you get the knowledge. What next? Discipline. Discipline. To adjust your thinking to what you are hearing, or the new knowledge you are getting to know, or the new perspectives you are getting, takes discipline. It's a fight. It's a battle that we must win. It takes discipline. And then for you to begin to act out of that new level of knowledge takes discipline. Well, talking about financial freedom, we become financially free when the returns on our investments can pay our bills. I say that again. We become financially free when the returns on our investments can pay our bills. This is what I mean. Now, it's one of the definitions of financial freedom. I'm giving us two today, okay? Two dimensions to financial freedom. If my monthly expenses come up to 100,000 naira. And I have money in the bank, say in a fixed deposit account. And the interest that I am getting from my fixed deposit account is 150,000 naira every month. The implication is that all my bills will be paid even if I don't work. Am I right? Let me say that again. My monthly bills, 100,000. But I have money in fixed deposit that is yielding 150,000 per month. It means that if I don't work again, my bills are paid. Now that is what it means. One of the most important meanings or definitions of financial freedom. Most people shoot too low in their financial goals and visions. They shoot for financial security. And the financial security is just to have a job, you know, and to be sure that nothing is going to take that job away. From the global economic recession that we've had now, it is obvious there is no security in security. Okay? So I encourage people, don't fight for security. Just find a place where you can hang out just for the rest of your life until you retire. Maybe I should talk about retirement. There's nowhere in the Bible that says you should retire. Don't plan to retire. Just plan to change the way you work, okay, as you grow older. Amen. Plan to change, okay. For example, if your goal is to get to that point where the returns on your investments can pick your bills, it means then you don't have to work for money anymore. You work for destiny. You work for fulfillment. In fact, that's the word. You work for fulfillment, for joy. You work for significance, for adding value to people's lives. So that should be the goal for each of us. And it's a goal that I encourage we set on a long term, especially since most of us are young people. It's a goal you're supposed to set for 20, 30, 40 years. And the earlier you start, the better for you. When you have such a long-term goal like that, then you let compound interest work for you. Let compound interest work for you. Albert Einstein said, compound interest is one of the greatest discoveries that man has ever made. The fact that you can invest with interest, then you can take the capital plus the interest and invest it. Invest that again. With time, the thing picks up, but somewhere along the line, the thing explodes geometrically. The longer the number of years you have, the better it works for you. I have an example here. If you invest 10,000 naira per year for the next 30 years, your total investment will be 300,000. You're investing 10,000 naira per year for the next 30 years. You would have invested 300,000. Okay, 300,000 naira. Now, if you get returns of 12% per annum on your investment and you don't take anything out of the money, okay, as the interest comes, you reinvest the whole thing. In 30 years, your money would have grown to 2,702,925 naira. Look at the difference. You would have invested 300,000, but your money would have grown to 2.7 million. Now, almost everybody here can afford to invest 1,000 naira per month. Maybe not everybody, but it's almost everybody here can afford it. The implication of that is that everyone can become a millionaire in their lifetime. Most people don't. So you wonder, so why don't people become millionaires? Most people don't because, one, they're ignorant. They don't know. Two, to prosper this way requires consistency. I said discipline. Amen. So some people start out, when they hear a message like this, they take the daily payment plan, take the budget. In 30 days or 60 days, some people may have forgotten that budget or spending plan thing, looking for another formula. breakthrough, anointing service, anointing for finance. You're going to come and collect prayer. The budget. He left the budget. Okay. This thing requires consistency. In the Living Bible, Proverbs 21:5, that we read, you know, says steady plodding. In the Living Bible, steady plodding brings wealth. Just consistent, you know, it's a plan. And you schedule it and you go over it for the long time. As you save your money, that's one of the important things we've emphasized in the course of this series. You must save. You must not spend everything. Oh, no. That is an automatic guarantee for poverty. You must not spend everything. Now, as you save, please invest. In the last 1 year, we've had such rough experiences in this country that people's confidence has been shaken. People invested in stocks. Their money was wiped out. And some people are in debt now. So those of us who were teaching invest, it now made it look like, okay, we misled people. But you know what? Circumstances change, but principles never change. Principles never change. So if you make the mistake of responding or reacting to circumstances which are temporary, okay, you make mistake of reacting to them, you'll shortchange yourself on the long run. You read the history of investing. These recessions come once in a long while. It's just part of the cycle. The vision that Joseph had, the vision that Pharaoh had, which Joseph interpreted in Genesis 41, you read it. There were 7 years of plenty, and then there were 7 years, you know, of dryness, they called them. But don't think that that only stopped then. It's a cycle. Now, people who invest know the best way for you to invest is to invest on the long term. Invest 20 or 30 years. And continue that investment, that monthly investment that you are making. Don't mind the circumstances. Continue your investment. Just continue. And ultimately, they found that if you invest over 20 years, 30 years, you will prosper. The investments will pay you on the long run. So I want to encourage that, please. Okay, some of us got burned because we did some risky investments. But I'll talk about that in a minute. Save and invest in fixed deposits, stocks, real estate, minerals. I mean, you can invest in gold and other minerals like that. Businesses. You can invest in businesses. You can invest in mutual funds, fixed deposits, stocks, real estate. Please, by all means, you must do that. Please, by all means, please do. And do it consistently over the long term. Now, talking about risky investments. When some of these funny investments came up, where they were multiplying people's money over 60 days, I had one of our church members told me, you know, that somebody came to meet him and said, we heard that Daystar is taking money from people and helping them to multiply the money. So I came on the pulpit and quickly spoke out that Daystar was not involved. Some of our church members were involved in hedge funds. However, our church was not involved in money dealing of any kind because we're not a bank. But I remember specifically that Sunday how I encouraged, and I want to say that again, that I read from Robert Allen's book, Multiple Streams of Income, that you should split your money into three groups. Some investments yield about 20% increment per annum. He said, put 50% of your investment there. They are not very high yielding. They are not dramatic. It says better you put 50%. In other words, you should be conservative in your investment. Be very careful. You can't work hard, save your money, and watch it blow away. You know why I'm saying that? Ecclesiastes chapter 5, from verse 13. Let me read it in the New Century Version of the Bible. Ecclesiastes 5, from verse 13. I have seen real misery here on earth. Money saved is a curse to its owners. They lose it all in a bad deal and have nothing to give to their children. People come into this world with nothing. And when they die, they live with nothing. In spite of all their hard work, they live just as they came. Okay? Bad deals. So, Robert Allen is saying, half of your investment should be conservative. Those investments that yield like 20% per annum, they are not very risky. That's the point with them. But it's better you keep half of your investment there. Then he said the other 30% you should put in investments that yield between 50 to 100% increment per annum. Then he said the last 20% you should put in investments that yield over 100% per annum. Any investment that promises you over 100% per annum, don't put more than 20% of your investment money there. Then Robert Allen said you must erect concrete walls between those three categories. In other words, if you blow your money in one category, don't reach over to the other category to take money to invest. Because what happens is when people have been burned, they become desperate. And we want to recover. Just cut your losses there. Praise the Lord. All right. There's a superior kind of investment. Now I want to close with that. There's a superior kind of investment. In this investment, you take your money, your material wealth, and you exchange it for intangible wealth. In Matthew chapter 6, hear what Jesus said. And Jesus sure understood about money. In Matthew chapter 6 from verse 19, Jesus said, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." So Jesus is saying, you can build up material wealth and material investment, but you can also build up intangible wealth. Said the problem with material wealth is it can be wiped out in one day. But, you know, in Proverbs 23, if you read from verses 4 and 5, Solomon said, don't overwork to be rich. Said, because riches can develop wings and fly away. Material wealth can be wiped out, it can be dissipated. So Jesus is saying here, look, you can do something. You can build up intangible wealth. That one thieves can never break. And when you know the technology, the process for changing intangible wealth into tangible wealth, which we've discussed in this series, then you can always reach into the realm of the spirit. Now, you read through the Gospels and you will see that was the kind of wealth that Jesus had. He was the wealthiest person walking on the earth when he was around, but it wasn't because he had the largest amount of money in the account. It was because he had access to get whatever he needed whenever he needed it. 5 loaves of bread and 2 fishes, and he feeds a crowd of some 15 to 20,000 people. Now that's wealth. And for us as Christians, we must adopt that as our standard. Once your definition of wealth is only material, you are likely to steal. And in this country now, we need a new kind of leadership, and we need to redefine wealth. Amen. I want to redefine wealth. Amen. I want to be richer than the person who stole 20 billion. I want to stand in the presence of the person who stole 20 billion and have self-esteem.
Amen.
Because there's a difference between success as a person and success as an event. So you may have achieved your goal, but you're a fraud.
Amen.
So in the new Nigeria, people with intangible wealth are going to be more prosperous than those who are stealing. Ah, real wealth is about to show up in this country now. So what happened was, in the Bible, our forefathers, the people who laid the foundation for our faith, discovered a way for investing in the intangible world, for turning their tangible wealth into intangible wealth. In Genesis 14, Abraham met Melchizedek, the priest of God, the high priest of God. When you read in Hebrews chapter 7, you see that was Jesus showing up, because they said the man didn't have father and didn't have mother. And there was nobody like that. It was just Jesus that showed up and met Abraham there ahead of time. And the Bible says that he gave Abraham bread and wine. Now, at that time, that was not yet the symbol of the covenant. Those were not yet the symbol of the covenant. Those were going to be symbols of the blood covenant in the New Testament. But this person who met Abraham gave him bread and wine, which are symbols of the communion. And the Bible says that he blessed him, and that Abraham gave him tithes of all. It was an exchange. Spiritual wealth is what we call blessing. It's intangible. It's invisible. But it's on your life. But that invisible thing attracts wealth. Attracts its material equivalent into your life. Abraham had it. Isaac had it. Jacob had it. Oh, one of the things that makes Jacob a very special personality for me in the Bible is his wisdom. The fact that he met his brother, okay? His brother was hungry. Jacob had food. The fact that Jacob used his food to buy intangible wealth. Because they said he asked for the birthright. And the birthright was the right to inherit the father's blessings as a firstborn, which would not be activated until the father would die. What Jacob bought with a plate of food was the future. Hallelujah. He bought intangible wealth. On the day their father was to die, you know what their father said? He called Esau. I want you to run, kill some animal, and prepare some good food for me. It's in Genesis 27. For the sake of time, I can't go into the details, but I expect you to do the study yourself. Isaac had intangible wealth. You remember in Genesis 26, they said there was famine, but when Isaac sowed his own crops, they said he got a hundredfold, to the point where the Philistines began to envy him. He was prospering because he had intangible wealth to convert. The economic recession could wipe away his wealth. Good. So Isaac was about to die, and he wanted to transfer that wealth to his son. But he made a powerful statement. He said, prepare me good food, which I love, so that I can bless you. He was asking his son to do an exchange. Bring the material, the produce of your work, and invest it. Let me give you intangible wealth. The only thing is, he didn't have the right anymore. That's Esau. Because the day he ate the asaro, the porridge, he had transferred it to Jacob. So he was a cheat who was trying to get what didn't belong to him. Okay. So their mother, somehow, see the way these things work. There are principles. What you sow, you will reap. Even if you think that God has forgotten. So the mother whispered to Jacob and said, run, collect that blessing. So Jacob quickly prepared food and brought it. And Isaac blessed him. Oh my God. Let me pronounce those blessings on someone here this morning. Okay. Genesis 27. Genesis 27. This is going to be somebody's testimony here. Genesis 27, from verse 27. And he came near and kissed him, and he smelled the smell of his clothing and blessed him and said, surely the smell of my son is like the smell of a field which the Lord has blessed. Ah, your smell will change. He said, therefore, may God give you of the dew of heaven, of the fatness of the earth, and plenty of grain and wine. Let people serve you, and let nations bow down to you. Be master over your brethren, and let your mother's sons bow down to you. Cursed be everyone who curses you, and blessed be those who bless you. That's it. Wealth transferred. Wealth transferred. As soon as Jacob left, Esau arrived. Then his father said, what? Because the father couldn't see anymore. He said, what? Oh my God. Your brother took the blessing. You know what Esau did? The Bible says that he broke down and wept bitterly. My problem with this generation, this current seemingly civilized generation, is that we are blinded to the real things. So we think a car is the real world. Hey! Oh, shut up. Tear nylon. Hey! Shut up. You don't know the real deal. Eh? Family man, big man with wives, was crying. Not because he didn't get a car, but because he didn't get the blessing. Intangible wealth, sir. The real deal. Jacob exchanged the way he used food to collect the birthright. He used food to collect the real thing. Investing, exchanging material wealth for intangible wealth. Anyway, there is power in giving. That's what I'm talking about. Proverbs 11:24. There's one that scatters and yet increases. There's the one that withholds more than is necessary. It results in poverty. There's power in giving. Luke 6:38, give and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. Men will give into your bosom. There's power, sir, in giving. In 1 Timothy 6, listen, when you are praying for prosperity, you must answer one question. Why do you want money? It's very important. If you don't understand the way money works, it will destroy you. Most people who ask for money don't know what they're asking for. 1 Timothy 6. Let me read from verse 6. The Apostle Paul said, now godliness with contentment is great gain, for we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and clothing, with these we shall be content. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare. Did you hear me? That's the Bible, sir. I want to be a millionaire. I want to be a billionaire. This is what comes with it. Those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare and into many foolish and harmful lusts which drown men in destruction and perdition. Is it wrong to be rich? No. But it depends on the purpose of the wealth. One man prospered in Luke chapter 12. And the problem was what he did or wanted to do with the wealth. Because it says here, for the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. That's the point. What's your relationship going to be with the money? It's not even going to be. What's your relationship with money now? For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. When money comes into your life, Jesus said you can't serve God and mammon. You need to understand money, sir, before you get it. The only place money desires to take in your life is God's place. God wants you to trust him. He who comes to God must believe that he is. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. The more money comes into your life, the more you approach financial freedom, the more you put your faith in the money. That's the problem, sir. That's the big issue. That you won't be able to trust God fully anymore. You put some of your security in the money, and that's why you don't want the money to go. At that point, you have greed. Greed, you know, when you go on the road, you see speed kills. I like to put signboards too on the road. Greed kills. I'm serious. That's why Apostle Paul is shouting here. You don't know what you are asking for. Let me jump to verse 17. Command those who are rich in this present age, that's those who have attained financial freedom, not to be haughty, that's it. Pride will be running after you. You'll be wrestling with pride. Not to trust, that's the word again, in what? Uncertain riches. That's what he called them. Not to trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who gives us richly all things to enjoy. How do you break the hold of greed? He said, let them do good or do acts of benevolence, that they be rich in good works, ready to give, willing to share, storing up for themselves a good foundation for the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. Through giving, you break the power of greed. If you cannot give, you are under the control of money. You are not the one who has the money has you. So that's why Malachi chapter 3 verse 10, God said, give your tithes and offerings. He said, test me if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour you out what? The blessings are intangible world. Intangible world. God deals with proportions. It's not the quantity, it's the proportion. Just proportion, 10%. Jesus sat down and saw the way people were putting money in the offering bag in Mark chapter 12. And then told his disciples, you see this widow who put in 2 copper coins? She gave more than all the rich people. Because she gave everything that she had. God deals with proportions. Give tithes, give offerings. Give to ministers of the gospel. Because by the divine appointment of God, they carry the power of blessing. They carry intangible wealth. You want to download wealth? You want to exchange the material wealth that you have for the invisible one? Do what Abraham did. Give to people who have more grace than you do in specific areas of life. Give to your parents. Of course, it's a matter of course that my parents are older than I am. I bless them. They speak blessings over my life. They speak blessings over my life. One of the reasons why it would be difficult for me to even consider myself to be poor is the level of blessing, the amount of blessings that come on my life. Give to the poor. Give to the poor. In Psalm 41, let me read that quickly. Psalm 41, the first 3 verses. I love these blessings for the person who gives to the poor. Psalm 41, the first 3 verses. It says, blessed is he who considers the poor. The Lord will deliver him in time of trouble. The Lord will preserve him and keep him alive, and he will be blessed on the earth. You will not deliver him to the will of his enemies. The Lord will strengthen him on his bed of illness. You will sustain him on his sick bed. The man sustaining the life of the poor man must not die. See? And Proverbs 19:17 says, he who gives to the poor lends to the Lord. Wow. So each time you give to a poor person, it's a loan into the realm of the spirit. And it says God will pay him back. Help me to tap your neighbor. Tell the person, give. See, if you can't give 10% of 10,000 naira, you're already under the grip of greed. I hope I can say the truth. Because somebody just said, yeah. You said it inside. You can't say it outside. But yeah, kilo day, what is it? Some people say, pastors like money too much. Why is it that they talk about tithe? You are the one who likes money too much. If you have a problem with it, you like money too much. What's the big deal? What if God said, bring 90%? What would you have done? I pray in the name of Jesus, the Son of the living God. Whatever stopped generations before now will not be able to stop you. I prophesy the release of wealth from heaven. The kind that no generation on this continent has ever found before. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, I prophesy a new level of revelation in your life. The God who delivered me from the paws and the grip of poverty, delivered me from the curse. The curse can't touch me anymore. I prophesy that God lifts you. Amen. Beyond every recession. Amen. Beyond stagnation. Amen. Beyond lack of promotion. Amen. In the mighty name of Jesus, I prophesy a season of miracles in your life, supernatural provision in your life, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. There are things God has reserved in the realm of the spirit. He wants to release them now. And I present you to God as a candidate to take delivery of riches, wealth, that no generation ever accessed, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. You will not die. You will live to see the fulfillment of God's prophetic word in your life, in the mighty name of Jesus. I pray for the person in this service who doesn't have a close relationship with God, because that's where it starts from. Don't let anybody deceive you. Don't let anybody deceive you. This is not playing church. This is life the way it should be lived. God loves you. All of us were born sinners. That's what the Bible says. But Jesus paid for our sins on the cross a little over 2,000 years ago. When we ask him to forgive us our sins, he does. He destroys the hold of sin over our lives. I have never regretted asking God for forgiveness. If you're that honest person this morning who wants to say, Pastor, my lifestyle is not right with God, I want God to forgive me, can you please put your hand on your heart and we'll pray together? Just 1 minute, but your life will never remain the same. And God bless you for your honesty. Pastor, please pray with me that God should forgive me my sins. Can you please put your hand on your heart? Somebody says, Pastor, I've said this prayer before. I've been a Christian before, but I have backslidden into sin. I want to rededicate my life to Jesus this morning. Can you also put your hand on your heart, please? I'd like to pray with you. God bless you. God honor your integrity and your honesty this morning. If your hand is on your heart for this prayer, can you please stand by your chair where you are? 1 minute and we'll be done. God bless you, my brother. God bless you, sir. God bless you. If you put your hand on your heart for this prayer, can you please stand by your chair quickly? You see, your decision determines your destiny. This is where it starts from. It's not what you know that counts. It's what you do with what you know. God bless you as you stand. If you're standing, please say this prayer after me. Dear God, I believe that Jesus paid for my sins, and I ask you to forgive me and to accept me as your child. Thank you for hearing my prayer. In Jesus' name, let me pray for you. Heavenly Father, we ask that you honor the faith of everyone standing. As you destroy the nature of sin from their lives, we thank you for the miracle of transformation. In Jesus' name, amen. Please do have your seats. Let's give them a big God bless you for making this decision. God bless you.
Dearly beloved, we believe you've been greatly blessed by this sermon. Do you want to download more sermons of your favorite preachers? Visit www.spiritnerds.org today. Reach us by email for more information and concerns at spiritnerds.org@gmail.com. God bless you.